Once again, we're looking at the Holy Spirit when it was poured out on all mankind, or poured out on all flesh, your Bible may say. And if you've got your Bible there, turn it to the second chapter of Acts. We're going to start in verse 1. And this is the classic Pentecostal experience, and it really doesn't have anything to do with any denomination or any church by that name. This is the experience that many observed and was part of at the time of Pentecost, which came 50 days after Jesus was resurrected, 50 days, Penta 50. And this is a Jewish feast, of course, back in Leviticus 23. If you look at Leviticus 23, it's a summation or a description of all the feasts of Israel. And, of course, Pentecost is the feast of the harvest. And, of course, we know that this is the time of the harvest. This is a time when the church is bringing in the harvest. This is a time when they're bringing in the harvest of souls. And, of course, at some point in time, that will be finished and it will be done with. And Jesus will come back to get the church and take them with him back to heaven. And so the day of Pentecost, it says, had come in response to, you might say, Jesus had directed the disciples to go to stay in Jerusalem, stay until the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. He said that in Acts, first chapter, verse 4, he said, "Gather the disciples together." He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." And so, of course, not many days was 50 days, and the disciples did not know, of course, that it was coming on this day. And I'm sure it took them as a bit of a surprise, and yet they were ready for it because they were obedient. They were ready to receive because they were obedient. They were looking for what the Lord had given instruction about. And so as they were preparing their hearts in those days, those 10 days after Jesus said that, as they were preparing their hearts, they were in anticipation and expectation. And that's what we should be when we go to a church meeting or go to a gathering where there's two or more gathered. We should be in expectation and anticipation that the Holy Spirit will be poured out on us, that the Holy Spirit will move, and the Holy Spirit will bring revelation and also bring miracles, and there will be an outpouring of signs and wonders. And so when we go expecting and when we go anticipating a mighty move of God, we're going to be in a much better frame of mind, a much better place in our hearts and in our minds to receive what God has for you. And of course, Jesus said in verse 8 of Acts 1, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so, as we see later in the book of Acts in the second chapter, the men who received the Holy Spirit, they did become witnesses. And that has a lot of bearing for us too, as God has called us to be his witness in this world. God has called us to be salt and light. And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that you are the salt of the world and you are the light of the world. And so as Christians, we can't just, you know, hide away in the caves and hope God takes care of us. We can't just hide away in our houses and hope the world doesn't encroach upon us. We need to be witnesses. We need to be salt. We need to be light. We need to be out there in the community, blessing the people who curse us and praying for our enemies and being parts of community boards and parts of community enterprises. And when we are in the community and are a part of the world, we're not sitting on the sidelines just watching the world go by. We are actively participating and sharing the gospel with the people that we run into. Well, the second chapter of Acts starts in verse 1, and this is the day that Jesus had told them about. "And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now, verse 5, now there were Jews living in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were bewildered, because they were each one hearing them speak in his own language. And so there you have it, brothers and sisters. The message of the gospel came out of the disciples, and they were hearing the gospel message. They were hearing it. First they heard the sound of a rushing wind, and then they were aware that there was tongues of fire that appeared. They saw tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. And they heard the message that each one spoke. They heard the message in their own language, each of them, and they were from many nations. It goes on to say there in verses 8 to 11, there was many nations of peoples represented there, many dialects, many tongues, and yet they heard the gospel message. They heard the message of the Holy Spirit, each of them, in their own language. And so this is the picture of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all mankind, and the people started acting a little bit loose and a little bit silly, and some of the bystanders said, well, these people are just drunk. They've had too much to drink. And Peter, standing up in verse 14, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And then comes in verse 17 the prophecy that we find if we look back in Joel, starting in verse 2:28, and this prophecy was prophesied by Joel hundreds and hundreds of years before this event occurred. And Joel knew that because of the inspiration and revelation from the Holy Spirit of God, Joel knew that this was going to come out and be poured out on all mankind. And sure enough, after Jesus ascended into heaven, 10 days after he ascended, after he gave that instruction to the disciples in the first chapter of Acts, 10 days later, this exact event happened, just as Joel prophesied that it would. And here it goes in verse 15. Peter says, for these men are not drunk, as you suppose. It is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoke of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God said, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And so that's the basic crux of the prophecy right there, is that the Spirit will be poured out on all mankind, or on all flesh, and the sons and daughters will prophesy, the old men will dream dreams, and the young men will see visions. And so here we sit today, 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years after this prophecy was prophesied. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is being poured out on all mankind each and every day, just as it was in the book of Acts, just as it was on that day when it was first poured out and Peter stood up to explain to the people what was happening. And so you can have the Holy Spirit, as we looked at it, as Jesus instructed the disciples about what the Holy Spirit is. You can have the Holy Spirit, and you can have the counsel and the wisdom and the instruction of the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing like being blessed and having the Holy Spirit. There's nothing quite like it. It's actually part of God in you. It's the mind of God. It's the Spirit of God in you. And Jesus said this would be given to believers, to those that confess his name. And so as we look at the Holy Spirit and attest to the fact that we have something very peculiar and very unique and very awesome and blessed within us, and so we don't have to trust in our own understanding. We don't have to lean on our own human wisdom. We don't have to trust in our own flesh to stand up against the wiles of the evil one. And as a result of having the Holy Spirit, we can know the wisdom and counsel of God. We can know the mind of God. And so it is God's desire that we walk with Him, confess His name, confess that He is Lord, confess that He is our Savior. And as we do that, well, then as we confess Him, He is grateful and He is able to bless us with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're baptized in Christian baptism to represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as we are obedient to God and obedient to His call, obedient to the call and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, then God takes us into His fold and we become one of His children. Well, that's the crux of the Holy Spirit. That's the heart and soul of the Christian message, the heart and soul of the gospel message, is that Jesus saves, and when He does, He saves you, and not only for eternity, He sets you aside not only for eternity, for what happens with you after you die, but also as you walk on this earth, as you participate in events as a human being, as a fleshly, carnal human being, you also have the power of that Holy Spirit, which is a down payment, Paul tells us in Ephesians 1, a down payment for the promise of eternal life, for the promise of that which is yet to come. And what a glorious promise it is, and we can only have a small taste of it. And in verse 10 in Ephesians 1, Paul says, with a view to the administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things upon the earth in Him. And also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. And so we have attained an inheritance, and that inheritance is the Holy Spirit. That inheritance is eternal life with God, and God gives us a foretaste of it, a little sampling of it, that will allow us to have wisdom and counsel of the Lord God in our life here on this earth. And what a blessing that is, to be able to have the Holy Spirit and know that God is with you every step of the way, that God walks with you, He talks with you, He counsels you. And so it's a blessed thing to be able to say, the Holy Spirit lives within me. Well, turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to look at some of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When you have received the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, or John said in Luke 3:16, that I came to baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me, the one whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, the thong whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, John says that he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And so that Holy Spirit baptism is in addition to the water baptism. That Holy Spirit baptism can come at the same time as the water baptism. It can come before the water baptism, when you actually receive in your heart and make that heart transplant, make that heartfelt decision, that heart restructuring, that sometimes the Holy Spirit baptism can come then, or the Holy Spirit baptism can come much, much later after the water baptism and after the receiving of the Holy Spirit. The baptism is a deeper walk with the Lord. It's a deeper, more penetrating, more abiding walk with the Lord, and that Holy Spirit baptism opens us up to the reception of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are talked about here in 1 Corinthians 12. And so if you'll turn there with me, we're going to look at this list, and next week we're going to get into a deeper look and preview or review of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I know some people may teach that, you know, some of these gifts aren't appropriate now, or maybe not in use now, and I don't believe that. I believe they are, and I believe that God wants us to have all of the gifts. And so if you'll just pray about, you know, the truth of His Word, pray about, well, God, what do you want me to have? What do you really want me to have? Do you want me to have the gifts, or do you want me to have just a partial taste of them, or is it not necessary that we have any of the gifts, or what do you want me? Just pray about it and see if God wants to give you. He will reveal to you what his desire for you is. I believe, you know, if it was good enough for the disciples, it's good enough for me. If it's good enough for John and Mark and Paul and Peter, it's good enough for me. And I believe God wants each and every one of us to have all of the gifts. I believe that's his will and his desire for our life. And so if you'll pray and ask God to give you that which you desire and that which you need, he will be faithful to do it. Well, in verse 1 in 1 Corinthians 12, it says, Paul says here, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." In other words, if you have the Holy Spirit, you will attest to the fact that Jesus is Lord. If you don't have it, you may say anything, but you're not going to be a witness for Jesus Christ. And, you know, basically Paul is saying that what he says in other places, what Jesus said, is that Satan doesn't cast himself out. Satan doesn't bear witness against himself. Satan doesn't curse himself. And so those that curse the Lord Jesus don't have the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit." And so Paul says the same Spirit dispenses all the gifts. Paul says the same Spirit is responsible for distributing all the gifts. And so he goes on then in verse 5 to list the gifts of the Holy Spirit. "Now there are varieties of ministries and the same Lord, and there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Let me repeat that. "But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." And so there are 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit listed here in 1 Corinthians 12. 3 of them would be considered gifts of power. That is, for an outward show of power, that's the gift of faith, healings, and miracles. 3 of them are considered to be gifts of revelation. That is, to receive revealed knowledge and wisdom from God, and that is the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits. And 3 would be considered to be gifts of inspiration, and that is to inspire other believers and also ourselves in our walk with the Lord, and that would be the gift of tongues, the prophecy, and the interpretation of tongues. And so we have a breakdown of 3 inspiration gifts, 3 revelation gifts, and 3 gifts of power. God wants us to have, I believe, all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I believe that if that is your desire, he can give each of them to you. Maybe you only show one, or maybe even 2 or 3. Maybe you only show one. Maybe you feel like you've not been given any. Just ask God to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you have not received any, get down on your knees and say, "God, just because you are who you are, just because you are a mighty God and these are gifts from you, I desire them. I want the gifts that you have for me." And if you'll do that, if you'll just open up your heart to receive at some point, when God knows your heart, when he knows your heart, he will pour out the gift on you, whatever it might be, one of them, it might be all 9. You may manifest them in different ways at different times. You may manifest them all in 1 week or in 1 month or 1 year. But God's desire is for his children to be blessed by his gifts. That's his desire. God does not want to withhold anything from us. All good and perfect gifts come down from the Father of lights from above. It's God's will that we receive the things that he has for us, the gifts that he has for us, the blessings that he has for us. That is God's will. That is his desire. And generally speaking, maybe always, the only thing that is stopping those gifts from being received is the person who is asking for them. And many times we don't come to God with the passion and the desire and the brokenness that we need, and God knows our hearts, brothers and sisters. That's what it boils down to. God knows our hearts. He knows your heart. He knows my heart. He can look into it and see what the motives are, what the iniquity, what the sin is, what the contrition, what the level of contrition and humility and forgiveness that we are asking for is. And so God knows our hearts, and He will give us at the right time just what we need and just the gift that we need. In general, I would say that if you're really broken and a contrite heart and you're really hungry and seeking the Lord, not for your own motives or not for your own self-aggrandizement or to in any way promote yourself, you know, God will be faithful and true to pour out on you everything that you desire. Well, we're going to talk more next week about the gifts and look at each one specifically and see how they relate to the believer and to the body of Christ. And so come back and be with us for that study. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you down at the Rock this week. God bless you. Have a great week.